Welcome to the Science Signaling Podcast for January 15th, 2013. I'm Annalisa Van Hook, and today I'll be speaking with Gabriel Nunez about a paper that appears in this week's issue of Science Signaling on the identification of regulators of an inflammatory signaling pathway. Inflammation is an important weapon in the immune system's arsenal of defenses against pathogens. The innate immune system triggers the inflammatory response when a tissue is damaged or infected, and this acute inflammation helps the body get rid of the pathogen and it stimulates healing. Normally, the inflammatory response is terminated when the threat is resolved. But if the inflammatory response is not terminated, or if a tissue is constantly subjected to conditions that cause inflammation, chronic inflammation results, and this actually causes tissue damage rather than promote healing. Chronic inflammation can cause a wide range of diseases, from asthma and rheumatoid arthritis to atherosclerosis, inflammatory bowel disease, and even cancer. This week's issue of Science Signaling focuses on the molecular signals that regulate inflammation. One of the articles in this issue describes a screen to identify regulators of the NOD2 and NF-kappa-B signaling pathways. Signaling through NOD2 and NF-kappa-B induces normal inflammatory responses, but mutations that alter the activity of NOD2 have been associated with inflammatory disorders such as Blau syndrome and Crohn's disease. A group led by Gabriel Nunez has performed a screen to identify regulators of this signaling network, and their results help shed light on the genetic basis of inflammatory diseases like Crohn's. Dr. Nunez spoke to me from the University of Michigan in Ann Arbor. Before we address the work in this paper specifically, I want to talk a little bit about inflammation and disease in general. How does uncontrolled inflammation or prolonged inflammation cause disease?
So many inflammatory molecules, they are made for controlling microbes, infectious microbes, also have a downside to them, is that they can't cause tissue damage. So typically, under low level of infection, there is not much damage in the tissues, but when this overwhelming infection can lead to overproduction of certain molecules, like TNF-alpha, which can damage the tissues. So in some diseases, some of the same pathways are aberrantly activated, and they are overproducing molecules, like TNF-alpha, they can lead to local tissue damage. And this is the case, for example, of Crohn's disease, a disease that we're going to be discussing later on today in more detail.
In this study, you were specifically looking for regulators of NOD2 and NF-kappa-B signaling during inflammation. How does signaling through NOD2 and through NF-kappa-B promote inflammation?
So NOD2 acts as an intracellular receptor that is activated by mutant dipeptide. This is a moiety present in the cell wall of practically all bacteria. So upon stimulation of NOD2, NOD2 activates NF-kappa-B, which is a transcriptional factor that induces a large number of pro-inflammatory genes.
After the inflammatory response has performed its function of helping to get rid of a pathogen or to stimulate healing, it has to be stopped or else it can cause tissue damage. How is inflammation that's induced by NOD2 or NF-kappa-B terminated?
So there are two mechanisms that can occur. One of them is the NF-kappa-B signaling itself can induce genes which are functioning in a negative feedback loop. For example, in the case of NOD2, we found that two genes, A20 and also I-kappa-B-alpha, which is a factor that sequesters NF-kappa-B in the cytoplasm, are induced upon activation. So these act as a negative regulators. So these affect in a negative manner the induction of inflammation. Another mechanism is that the ligand itself, the initial stimulus, is also can be reduced in amount. So that also, of course, will have an impact in the strength of the signaling pathway itself.
You mentioned Crohn's disease earlier as a disease that can result from defects in inflammation. How does dysregulation of NF-kappa-B signaling that's induced by NOD2 cause Crohn's disease?
This is a very complicated question, but this is a very important question. So we know that mutations in NOD2 are loss of function mutations. This means that they make proteins, NOD2 proteins, which are impaired in the recognition of NDP, the microbial ligand which activates NOD2. So we don't fully understand how the impaired function of NOD2 mutations trigger Crohn's disease. One possibility, which is supported by experimental evidence, is that NOD2 acts to prevent the local invasion in the intestine of some commensal bacteria. These are the bacteria that normally live in our guts. And in the presence of NOD2 loss of function mutations, these bacteria may accumulate locally and trigger secondarily the aberrant activation of increase in FKB, because the other pathways which will be also triggered by this bacteria. So under normal conditions, NOD2 will prevent this local invasion, so there will not be activation, a normal activation. But in the presence of NOD2 mutations, in which NOD2 bacteria recognition is impaired, then this lead to increase of certain bacterial populations, which now will apparently activate the other signaling pathways which are involved in bacterial recognition. For example, like toll-like receptors, which is another major pathway which is activated by bacteria.
And it's that extra immune response in the gut that causes the symptoms of Crohn's disease.
Yes, because it's more inflammation. It leads to local production of molecules. They're like TNF-alpha, which cause local tissue damage. And this is why many patients benefit from TNF blockade, because this is a molecule which is very important for microbial elimination, but also it's like a two-edged sword. Also, it can induce tissue damage.
So in this study, you did a screen. What was the setup for that screen you did? How did you identify genes that encode regulators of NOD2 and NF-kappa-B signaling?
So we first engineer a reporter cell line that upon addition of the NOD2 agonist, minimaldepeptide, induces the activation of NF-kappa-B, which is revealed by luminescence, a readout. So then we inhibited over 18,000 genes using a methodology called siRNAi, which basically inhibit the expression of genes. And then we basically could able to identify genes that promote or inhibit NOD2 signaling. So in the case of a positive regulator, the inhibition of the RNA will result in lower signaling. So that will say that it's a positive regulator or NOD2. While in some cases, inhibition of the gene induces enhanced signaling. So we can say that it's a negative regulator of NOD2 signaling.
So what sorts of proteins did you identify as regulating this network?
So because there is a genome-wide screen, we identify many genes which are involved in different steps of NF-kappa-B activation. For example, some of the genes were the transcriptional factor itself, NF-kappa-B, for example, RLA, and also all the critical components for NOD2 specifically is called RIP2. We also identified another set of genes which are important for proteasome activation, which is a very important pathway in regulating NF-kappa-B. Other genes were genes which are important for nuclear pore components. So many of the NF-kappa-B components have to travel to the nucleus. So inhibiting some of these nuclear pore components will interfere with NF-kappa-B pathway itself. There were other genes that also involve regulatory components of NF-kappa-B. And so there were several types of genes which are involved in NF-kappa-B activation that were revealed by the screen.
Did you identify some factors that were previously unknown to regulate activation of NF-kappa-B signaling by NOD2?
Yes. We identified some factors that they were previously unknown, or they were known but they were not previously implicated in the NF-kappa-B signaling pathway.
And what were some of those factors?
Well, some of these factors, some of them we don't understand how they function, so more work needs to be done. But I think this work provides now opportunities for many investigators around the world to follow up these leads which we identified And so I think this is one of the major factors in the work, that this will allow now scientists to follow up some of these factors that we found to be important for the NOTO signaling, and they can be followed up in future studies.
How do you think that your results can be used to help understand or to treat inflammatory diseases that are caused by dysregulation of the NOD to NF-kappa-B signaling axis?
So one possibility is that the screen reveal many genes that we don't quite understand the function. Importantly, some of these genes that we found to be important in the NOTO signaling pathway have been linked to increased susceptibility or protection from Crohn's disease by in genome-wide association studies, but there was not really known function for these genes. So some of the genes we identified involved in the NOTO pathway are actually associated with Crohn's disease. So this data suggests that perhaps many patients which they have normal NOT2 alleles may have mutations in other genes in the NOT2 pathway, which have been revealed by our studies.
Crohn's disease specifically affects the intestine, but NOD2 signaling is important in immune system function throughout the body.
Yes.
So are any of these factors that you identified as regulating NF-kappa-B signaling downstream of NOD2 that are potentially important for Crohn's disease, could the fact that those molecules might be used in other contexts complicate the possibility of maybe being able to target those molecules for Crohn's disease therapies?
Yeah, this is a common problem with targeting inflammatory pathways. Typically, inflammatory pathways are there to prevent pathogen invasion. So always when you develop strategies to inhibit inflammatory pathways, you always have a chance to also interfere with microbial eradication. So you could have problems with increased infection or increased invasion of certain pathogens. This is a balance that have to be followed to being effective to reduce inflammation, but at the same time, not overdoing this, that will increase the chances for infection of these patients being treated. So this is always been a problem in strategies to diminish tissue damage and diseases which are inflammatory. There has to be a balance, because these pathways are there not to cause disease. They are there primarily to protect us from bacterial invasion, a viral infection.
How about inflammatory diseases other than Crohn's? Are there other inflammatory diseases in which NOD2 signaling has been implicated?
There have been another different type of mutations. They are actually gain-of-function mutations. So these are syndromes caused by single amino acid changes in the NOD2 protein, which cause increased activation of the NOD2 protein. So these now NOD2 become considerably active. So the mutation is activated in the absence of the microbial ligand. So these patients have symptoms of inflammatory syndromes like arthritis, problems, inflammation in the eyes, and all other symptoms in the skin that mimic infection by a microbe, but actually there's no infection. It just reflects the fact that these mutations are constantly active. So these patients have rare syndromes, typically children which are affected by these familial syndromes, are the high penetrance, meaning that when you have the mutation, you will have the disease. Very different from Crohn's disease, in which the environmental factors, namely the bacteria and the intestines, also play a very critical role. So yes, this is the opposite type. It's a gain-of-function mutations versus loss-of-function mutations in the Crohn's disease.
Thank you, Dr. Nunez, for speaking with me.
You are welcome.
That was Gabriel Nunez, senior author of a paper that appears in the current issue of Science Signaling. That paper is by Warner and colleagues, and it's titled, A Genome-Wide siRNA Screen Reveals Positive and Negative Regulators of the NOD2 and NF-kappa-B Signaling Pathways. You can read that paper as well as other articles on the molecular regulation of inflammation in this week's issue of Science Signaling. This special focus issue also includes research on the role of a metalloprotease in skin inflammation, a perspective on inflammation and multiple sclerosis, and an editorial guide by editor John Foley, who highlights these new articles and related articles from our archives. And that wraps up this Science Signaling podcast. If you have any questions or suggestions, you can write to us at sciencesignalingeditors@aaas.org. This show is a production of Science Signaling and of AAAS, Advancing Science, Serving Society. I'm Annalisa Van Hook, and on behalf of Science Signaling and its publisher, the American Association for the Advancement of Science, thanks for listening.